So then Kenny Loggins confirmed.
Confirmed alive.
Alive and well. We don't know if he's well. That's not true.
That's right. I mean,
I assume he's well.
As confirmed as it can be just by looking at pictures on his website. Apparently his fan club, also very active.
You went to his website?
Yeah, KennyLoggins.com.
I would have just went Kenny Loggins alive? Question mark in Google.
Oh, see, I chose to just type his name in Google and then click on the number one link, which turns out KennyLoggins.com. He gets a little more traffic than MattMuellner's.com.
And BetsyBarnage.com doesn't even exist.
Ooh, we should totally, somebody out there, build that website and then send us the link. I want to see. I don't want to know what's on there until we pull it up.
I actually do not like this idea at all. I'm going to buy my domain name after this because now I'm just nervous.
Just so you know, folks, she will not do that. So totally go out right now and buy BetsyBarnage.com and build that website.
She has no idea how to do that.
Right. She is saying things right now.
I'll put in a call. I know people other than you. Because you would be my first call.
The problem is the people you know are the people I'm talking to right now.
I know, but...
Who should go out and build it first.
Right, but they won't hear this before I get to put a call into them.
You say.
You're not that fast at this.
No, I'm not. That's true. Bets, this time we're going to get this out of the way early. Let's say hi to everyone out there. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Betsy.
And this is Guy Talks.
The girl rolls her eyes.
Gosh, we're getting better and better at that. Well, last time it was over 5 minutes deep.
That's because you just totally forgot about it.
I did. I feel like, when do you think we should start season two? Because I feel like when we launch season two of the podcast, I'm going to create permanent bumper intro so that we don't have to do that in the midst of the podcast every time. It'll just be, we'll just have opening music and our intro, like, it'll be very official so that I don't have to remember.
I have no idea what any of this
Some people will love it. And some people will probably be like, remember before they got big?
Okay. Well, first of all, those people don't exist. And second of all, we're already over a year into this. So how long are seasons for you?
I have no idea. I think 25 episodes.
What is this?
24.
Oh, okay. So one more.
Yeah. I mean...
Which is great, because we only have two more topics.
We're not counting the pilot, of course.
Well, we never do.
Pilot episode 000.
So why don't we talk about what we're actually going to talk about today?
Yeah, so this episode... the topic of this episode came to me because of a recent experience that I had. Where I was solicited.
This makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I realize there's more than one definition of that, but just the way you introduced the story makes me feel real uncomfortable.
Yeah. This is the less skeevy of the definitions. So I live in a community called Elm Grove, which is a community full of...
Uptight and hoity-toity.
Yeah, but more importantly for this story, full of elderly people. Most of my immediate neighbors are in their 80s and have been living in that neighborhood a very long time.
So there's about to be a transition in the neighborhood.
We're in the midst of that transition. But what that means, if for those of you out there who have lived in neighborhoods with large elderly populations, apparently, and I didn't know this, but apparently door-to-door selling is still a thing.
I had no idea this still existed.
Me either, till we moved to Elm Grove. And suddenly, pretty much almost every week, probably three times a month, we get a knock on our door. And our doorbell is currently disabled for reasons that we don't need to get into right now, although it is kind of a funny story. So
is
we don't get
not
a.
Because you have a newborn sleeping all the time?
Well, it's partly because of that. Well, we might as well tell the story. So our doorbell started malfunctioning it was probably like 3 months ago now. And so it would just ring at random times.
You were about to say like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and then I realized it was way longer than that.
Right, yeah.
So it would ring at random times. And so we'd go to the door to see who was there, and there was no one there, which really creeped my wife out.
Ooh, because... it was like you were being ding-dong ditched all the time.
Yeah, and I think you know my wife is a believer in ghosts and spirits.
This is true, yes.
So after the second time, she was like, It's haunted. The house is haunted. There's a ghost trying to get in.
That would really creep me out, too. And I do not believe in ghosts.
It was a little creepy. And then it started to happen at night, which, you know, when it happens in the middle of the day, I thought, well, maybe our doorbell's just kind of messed up.
Maybe, like, it's really windy outside.
I don't know.
I don't think that's a
thing. I was brainstorming all kinds of things. But I pretty much knew this thing's broken.
Like, for one of the smartest men I know, sometimes you come up with, like, the dumbest ideas.
I didn't come up with the windy thing. That was you.
No, I know, but I can just see, like, the wheels turning in your head.
You're just assuming that every idea I had was stupid?
Am I wrong?
Probably not. Yeah. No. So anyway, it all came to a head. I had been putting off dealing with this and just like, it's fine, just ignore it.
Ghosts are welcome here anytime.
Right, no big deal. But then in the middle of the night one night, like 3 a.m., the doorbell rings. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So, of course, I go downstairs and nobody's there. And the baby didn't wake up, which was great.
Except for the high school students cowling around the corner of your house, yeah, cackling.
I go back.
And the bag of dog poop on fire on your front step.
Which, of course, I stomped on. So I go back up the stairs, and I get to the top stair, and the doorbell rings again. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I race back down, open the door, nobody's there. And then immediately the doorbell rings again, and I'm standing at the door. So I'm like, okay, got it. And this doorbell just keeps, now it's ringing like every 2 seconds.
Oh, so Gabe's awake.
Yeah, so the whole house is waking up. I'm climbing on a chair, like literally ripping this thing out of the wall. Like, I didn't even like run to get a screwdriver. I just tear this thing off the wall. Really just the cover plate. And then it's very obvious once you get the cover plate off, like, this is very old wiring, like frayed.
Did you think it was new?
No, but like it's hanging on by barely a thread of cable. And that's obviously the problem. Like, it's just, you know.
Yes, clearly, obviously, the problem.
It's a bad contact. Well, I mean, if I can look at a set of electrical
at 3 a.m.
wires
dark,
at 3 a.m. and go, asleep. Well, there's your problem, then it's an obvious problem. So I yank all the wires off the contacts. Problem solved. Anyway, so that was, let's say, 2 months ago. Our doorbell still doesn't work because I have yet to climb back up on the chair and reattach the connections.
You know what this tells our listeners?
That I'm busy?
Yeah, busy's a word. You could say you're busy.
And I will. Anyway,
There's another four-letter word that it could be that ends in a Y, too.
Fancy? That's five letters.
That's five letters. Lazy was where I was going. Okay. Yeah.
So where this leads back is that we get solicited by door-to-door salespeople from time to time. And now they have to knock on the door. They can't just ring the doorbell.
Well, here's the part that's particularly interesting to me is you say this happens like once a week, but you're not even home during the day. So this happens at night?
Yes. Yeah. So they stop by frequently like around 6 o'clock.
Well, dinner time, clearly.
Right. And at times as late as like 8:30, we've had them knock on the door. Yeah, because we got little kids. They're in bed.
So is your wife at 8:30.
Well, yeah. So they're very frustrating. And I've always been a person who just sort of has the policy that if you come to my door and try to sell me something, immediately there's no way I'm buying it. Like,
I also fall in that category.
Just the simple fact that it could be the greatest product ever. But
no
the
one
fact
ever comes
that
to my door to sell me anything. The rumor must be out. She's not buying.
Well, you also live in an apartment building.
Yeah, but even when I lived with, you know, in Whitefish Bay.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
No, nobody ever came.
So, again, I think the reason that Elm Grove has a profusion of these people is because of the elderly population. I think maybe a little of it is predatory. Maybe it's just that people of a certain age are still open to that, like because they used to be sold things that way 50 years ago. And so they're still fine with it. Yeah, and vacuum cleaners. And
What are they selling?
So all kinds of stuff. Well, typically it's services for the home. So this most recent one was pest control. So like we're going to spray your yard for bugs and around your house and stuff. But frequently we get different yard services, like the True Green people come around. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll water your yard and put some fertilizer on.
And also you won't get dandelions.
Right. And window salesmen come by a lot. So I had a guy come a while back, and he was like,
"That's a hefty buy, too."
Right? Yeah. He was like, "Oh, we got these amazing windows. Let me show you my iPad with my fancy pictures on it." And obviously, your windows need upgrading. And I go, "Well, obviously."
Do they?
My windows
are just between us.
Yes, yeah, so I said, "Really?" Because they look fine to me. And he goes, "Oh, well, you got some chipping around here." And I literally stepped out the door and like walked to the window right next to the front door, and I pointed at it. I'm like, "Where? Where do you see it?" Because they look like they're in real good shape. And he goes, "Well, you probably gain a lot of efficiencies."
Everything
and blah, blah,
will
blah.
Always look like it's in really good shape.
Yeah, it was really something. And then another guy, what was the other really funny one that I was like, house painting, like the college painting, like,
oh, yeah.
But college guys painting or something like that. And they had an interesting pitch.
Which seems like a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. I would never trust a bunch of college students to paint my home.
Yeah, I mean, in what world does that scream credibility? Like, I'm going to hire professionals instead of doing it myself. By that, I mean, I'm going to hire a bunch of college kids who are probably ill-trained and are hungover.
They probably have at least a B average, though.
Probably. Oh, you're bad. So this most recent experience that I had, I have mixed feelings about.
Well, here's what's interesting is you told me about this, that you had a door-to-door salesman, and my reaction was, I would feel would be what most people's reaction would be, and that was, I can't believe those still exist. I've never seen them before. And then literally the next day, was I with you or Todd out to lunch? And I looked, we were on Brady Street in the
city.
That
was me. Yeah.
And I looked out the window and there was a door-to-door salesman at a house across the street from the restaurant we were at.
Yeah. Just knocking on the door.
He was trying to sell gutters or something.
Mm-hmm. This is apparently still a model.
I had no idea.
So let me just tell you this story and then we'll talk about other forms of solicitation. But it is really, it's kind of epic. So I'm driving home from work after a pretty long day of training. I'm tired, and I'm not going to get home until later than I normally would. So my ETA is like 6 p.m. At this point, Carolyn is already like feeding the kids and trying to get them settled down. And I just want to come home and pour a drink and sit on the couch and also help take care of my
good.
Kids.
That's right. A good way. Yeah, that right. Was good. Just in case she listens to this one randomly.
Right.
She won't, but I mean, just in case. Yeah. It's good.
So then I get a phone call from her, and I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? You know, how are the kids? I'm almost home." And she says, "Don't be mad." I said, What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, he was just really nice, and Gabe loved him from the very first moment." I'm like, "Him? Who him? What are you talking about?"
And this is where she tells you that you're getting an awkward divorce.
It felt a little like that. She says to me, this guy came by, a door-to-door salesman and from some company that I don't even remember the name of now. And he was so great, and he's telling me all about the services, and I'm sorry, but, like, I got caught up in it, and I was trying to hold the kids, and then Gabe was talking to him, and he got along really well with Gabe, and they have the same birthday, and his name is Matt, too, and he went to Virginia Tech, and blah, and all this stuff.
All these weird coincidences.
Oh, my God. Which probably were all just made up, you know.
Yes, that's what a good salesperson does. They right? lie.
"Oh, where'd you go to school? Virginia Tech? Oh, my gosh, me, too."
Me, too.
"Oh, your husband's name is Matt? Oh, my gosh, me, too."
That's harder to lie about, because eventually you're going to figure out his name.
Well, or you opened our mailbox and...
Well, right, but at some point he's going to have to give you a card or something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, his name was actually Matt. Oh. Anyway... Come to find out, she talked to him for like 30 minutes, basically told him we were going to buy whatever he was selling, and then told him that her husband would be home in an hour and he could come back to sit down and talk to me about this
man-to-man
bug spray service.
Right.
Which I think in her mind was partly about putting it off so she wouldn't have to deal with it, but also she basically told him we were going to buy it, which she then told me, like, I basically told him we were going to buy it. I'm like... Neat. Just can't wait to come back. So I get home, and of course, he comes by at like 8:30 at night.
Well, he had to hit all the other houses in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. And it's in the pouring rain, of course, so immediately she invites him into the house and wants him to come like sit down and talk to us.
Well, it'd be rude to make him stand in the garage.
The kids are asleep, so we're like whispering.
Which coincidentally is what I would have done.
Yeah.
"Hey, let me open the garage. Feel free to step in."
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding.
And basically, like, I'm trying to be now, like, retroactively tough about this. Like, well, tell me about your product. You know, why is this better than, like, what's the price? Blah, blah, blah. But she's already said we're buying it and told me that she wants to buy it because he seems nice. So I'm going to buy it. And so then we do. Even against all my moral code of I don't buy stuff from door-to-door.
Have you had any bugs in your house since?
Well,
that's a serious question.
Not noticeably, no.
So then, investment made.
Yeah, we've had one treatment. And the lady who came out to do the treatment was very professional and did a nice job. But here are some things that you need to know about this salesman. So, first of all,
He was a really good salesman.
He did all his business on an iPad, which was very modern and cool. But I had to, like, sign on the iPad for the service agreement, and it was very accelerated, let's just say. Like, okay, right, we'll just go ahead and sign here. And I'm like, am I signing a service agreement right now, or am I, like, because I haven't agreed to buy from you yet. And he's like, oh.
Oh, your wife already did.
Yeah. But here's the best part. He was cruising around the neighborhood, talking to other houses, of course, and told us, which I think is sort of a classic strategy, that he named like three neighbors that have already purchased from him, right? Like, are going to, this person and this person and this person are all using it, so I can give you a big discount because the truck's already going to be in your neighborhood. You're the last one
convenient.
On the block, right? The last one on the block, which of course is a lie. But
well, they might all be customers.
Maybe. But this is a very common technique for these people. Mm. Like, I've heard that line from a bunch of these all different companies. They all say, like, oh, well, everybody around here is redoing their windows, and so I can get you a great deal. Sure. Here's the best part. He was cruising around the neighborhood on a Segway.
Yes! Oh my gosh, I was going to guess that.
Yes, in the rain.
In the rain. Was he wearing a helmet?
No, I wish.
Oh my gosh, so then he was like all matted down, wet, gross? Was he wearing a poncho?
He was. Or like a Columbia rain jacket.
A rain slicker?
A slicker, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, tootling around the neighborhood on a Segway, just making sales.
Just making mad sales.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It was pretty neat.
That's why Carolyn bought from him.
Oh, for sure.
It was the Segway.
Because how non-threatening is that?
Like a guy, I mean, he's basically a mall cop.
For sure. Or like a...
He actually might moonlight as a mall cop.
Like a downtown tour guide?
He was just going to head right over to Brookfield Square from your house.
For those of you that are easily exhausted by walking tours of the Riverwalk, please step this way.
We're going to charge you four times as much for a shorter tour.
Oh, man. Yeah, so...
That's amazing.
This is the evolution of the door-to-door salesman.
He's too lazy to walk.
Segway-equipped, iPad sales materials, pretty stellar.
Have you...
And it worked. It worked. We bought it.
Have you ever done sales in that way? Not necessarily door-to-door, but like...
Like cold sales?
Yes.
Yes. Early in my focus training experience.
What did you sell?
Well, I sold focus training.
Oh, well, okay. Besides focus training.
Oh.
Like, did you ever go to people's homes and sell them things?
No. I mean, maybe as like a part of Cub Scouts when I was a little kid.
Like popcorn.
Like, yeah. Please buy a wreath from me for fundraisers and stuff. But no, not as a career ever. My cousin... was very involved in vector marketing.
So was I.
Oh, you were a Cutco kid, huh?
Very successful.
I believe it.
I mean, everybody in my family was spending literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars on knives.
Yes, as has everyone in our family.
I went to my best friend's house to pitch her mom, mm-hmm. who already owned a set of these knives. So I knew she wasn't going to purchase anything.
Yeah.
But her aunt randomly stopped by and spent $1,200 on a knife set, to which I still see Karen from time to time. And more importantly, I see her husband, Tom, and he has never once let me forget that his wife spent $1,200.
That you owe him.
On knives.
Yeah. Are they still using the same set?
Yes, because they'll
last forever. They do have a lifetime guarantee. Yeah.
That's right.
Did you cut the tin can and then the tomato?
No, I did cut the penny, though.
Oh, the penny. Sorry.
The penny, yes. And the rope.
The penny. Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. somebody's shoe in half.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. And, like, I mean, whole kitchen table. Just saw that right in half.
They're very nice knives. So here's the question I want to ask you to determine how successful you actually were at Cutco. Mm-hmm. Did you make it beyond the immediate family and friends circle and actually start selling to people that you didn't know?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Do you think that I wouldn't be a good salesperson?
No, that's not at all what I suspect.
Honestly, invite me into your home, offer me a cup of coffee, and let's just chat.
See, I won't do that because I feel like it would cost me a lot of money. But for a lot of people, that's where the Cutco journey stops, right? You sell it to all of your aunts and uncles, and then then you're done.
Right.
But my cousin pushed beyond that envelope and actually became a district manager where he was leading.
Oh, yeah, he for sure did far more than I did.
Yeah, leading teams of people going out to do it.
Yeah, it's a total pyramid scheme.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's a total pyramid scheme, which I guess pyramid schemes exist because they make money for someone.
They do, for people at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I sold anything. I also had a paper route when I was younger, so I had to sell subscriptions.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mostly wanted it because my brother had the paper route, and then when my brother didn't want it anymore, I was like, people give him Christmas gifts. I'm for sure going to do this. Mm. And, like, tips. Turns out I was also very successful at that because most people would see me riding my bike with this bag full of newspapers. And they were like, yeah, I'm not a giant human being by any stretch of the imagination. So the bag was about the same size as me.
So you made a lot of pity sales.
I sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how the Girl Scouts continue to be funded because these adorable little children come up and they're like, please help me get my knitting badge.
I'm pretty sure they don't sell cookies to get a knitting badge.
Some do.
Pretty sure it's their entrepreneurial badge or marketing badge.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the money from cookie sales goes to fund their other activities. You think yarn is free? Because it is not.
No, they get the parents to donate that.
Oh.
And the parents to buy the cookies. It's kind of genius.
Where does all the money go?
It's a very good question. We should call someone at CNN or something and have them research this.
Maybe not CNN. They're fake news. They'll do an expose. Who could do an expose? John Oliver needs to do a...
Oh, that's good. We should just ask John to do it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Our boy John. Obviously a listener. Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
Big friend of the show. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours.
Oh, God. That would literally make my... Life.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He probably needs little people to infiltrate certain circles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're totally unassuming.
You're little.
That's true. But actually, that's not really what I meant. But also, yes, that in case there's a short people convention he needs to get inside of, I'm willing to do that.
I like that. Hard-hitting expose on the short people convention. What are they up to creeping about? Can't see them below those shrubs.
Well, now that's just mean.
Well, Sean Spicer hid behind some shrubs. That was on the TV. So the other kind of solicitation that has been bothering me a lot recently are the robo sales calls to my cell phone.
On your cell phone, me too.
Which?
What's the point of being on the list?
I know.
They tell you to totally put worthless. Your number on the list, but I still get calls all the time.
I feel like we've gone back in time 20 years because you used to get those calls all the time on your home line back
Correct.
When landlines were a thing, and then everybody got cell phones, and it was like, great, the days of those automated sales calls are behind us, because how are they going to get my number? But now they got it, and so I get
I assume they get your number
several
the same
a week.
Way they got your number when it was a landline.
I know, I just felt like
someone
it took them a while
down.
To figure it out, right, and to jump over to the cell phones, and now I get it all the time, which is super annoying. I wish they would just build in an easy way to block numbers. Maybe there is one and I just don't know. If you're a listener out there and you're more tech savvy than me, if my iPhone can just block a number retroactively, I would really like to know how to do that. I could also just ask Google. I don't need to ask listeners.
Well, you certainly can't ask me. I mean, you can ask me.
I won't.
I will not be able to provide any sort of information on that subject.
Speaking of Girl Scouts, did I tell you that that Girl Scouts sold us cookies in a bar the other day? I think I told you that story already.
No,
like,
but
they cornered us in a booth at the bar.
Genius.
It really is.
I also have like 3 or 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies in my freezer that I haven't even opened yet.
Oh, saving them for a rainy day, huh?
Well, normally I buy them and I give them to other people. And then this year I just put them in my freezer.
Save them for stocking stuffers at this point.
It's kind of not a bad idea. Huh? Someone's going to really love a Caramel Delight back, you know, in December.
It's in the off season. Yeah, they're rare at that point.
Yeah, I have Thin Mints, Caramel Delights.
You should actually save them and then sell them on eBay when it's hard to get them.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Like those people who were selling Twinkies for like $100 a box when people were worried that Twinkie, that Hostess was going to go out of business.
That's gross. And
that the Twinkie was going to go away forever.
That was not me. I was not worried about that.
I don't know if I was worried, but I was paying attention.
Is there anything that you would pay money for in that way?
Oh, like if it was going to go away forever?
Yeah, like if something was going away, would you stock up on it and pay like top dollar?
Ooh, that's a good question. Gosh, what do I drink much of?
I know what I would.
I noticed how I just said drink.
Yeah, you brought drink.
Yeah, it would probably be some kind of whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if Bullet Bourbon was going to go out of business.
If Bullet Rye went out, I don't know what I would do. That would be a sad day.
Yeah, I'd definitely purchase a case immediately.
Several, probably. It could live
in my basement.
Would be better.
Yeah, well, because a case is not going to even last me the year.
Right, that's why I said several.
Is that disturbing? How many's in a case? 12? 24?
I don't know. The point is, if it's going out, if it's never coming back, you got to plan ahead.
Make an investment, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I was actually more concerned about Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, okay. Well, I like those. That's not on my list of panic button products. But
I mean, it's like my go-to, just I need a handful of something right now that's sweet.
I like Honey Nut Cheerios. We have not allowed Gabe to have them yet. He just gets regular Cheerios because...
It's kind of boring. Still good, but...
Well, yeah, but the moment... You need to withhold Honey Nut Cheerios for as long as possible. Because the moment you give a kid Honey Nut Cheerios, you can never buy them regular Cheerios again.
Unless you're the weird kid like me, in which case, when you're small, you prefer the plain ones. Like regular Cheerios, Corn Flakes, Raisin Bran. Yeah. Those were things I used to get excited about.
Yeah, you were odd.
Now, give me the sugar.
Yeah.
Load up the sugar.
Yeah, that's not my thing. So, solicitation. You got anything else?
No.
You had a podcast pal last time. You said you were saving him.
I did.
Him or her?
It's a him.
Okay.
It's a longtime listener who I finally met in person.
Ooh.
Do you know who it is?
No.
Guillermo.
Oh, yeah.
Finally met him.
Yeah.
Really excited to meet him. Thanks for listening. He would like to attend our Guy Talks Girl Rolls Her Eyes live taping.
Oh, yeah.
He will likely be the only person I told him that would attend such a thing, but he said that would be fine.
He might have to be the one to organize it. I don't know if it's going to happen if we just leave it to you and I.
I mean, he could just sit in that chair right there and watch us. We could call it live.
I like it. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's live cast it with an audience of one right here.
That's perfect.
Well, that's a good one. Shout out to you, G. As has often been the case, I'm Matt.
And I'm Betsy.
And this is Guy Talks.
Girl Rolls Her Eyes.